Coming up on Rod's Planet, Rod wants to know where is the love and gives you 10 ways to be a good neighbor. All that plus news and more starts right now.
Warning, you are about to enter a world with no rules. If you can't handle the truths contained in this podcast, then leave. Now, buckle up and get ready as RJ Productions takes you on a round trip to Rod's Planet. And now, here's your host, Rod.
That's right. My name is Rod, and welcome to this episode of Rod's Planet. I'm going to teach you all, hopefully, how to be good neighbors, and more than that, just good people in this world. So we've got a couple of ways on how you can be a good neighbor. Plus, I'll give you my opinion, as I always do. But first, let's take a look at some of the stories making headlines today. Lindsay Lohan is suing Pitbull and the co-writers of his number one single, Give Me Everything. It seems the actress turned singer turned rehab regular has taken some offense to this line of the song.
So I'm tiptoeing, so keep blowing, I got it locked up like Lindsay Lohan.
Turns out LL doesn't appreciate her name being exploited in popular music and wants the song to stop getting airtime altogether. Guess she wants to be the only one who can run her name through the mud. And in other former child star news, Hilary Duff is pregnant. That's right, Lizzie McGuire is having a baby of her own. She and her husband, Mike Comrie, are expecting their first child and broke the news of her upcoming bundle of joy as well as the cravings it brought with it over Twitter. And that will just about do it for today's headlines. Now, as you know, I love to debut underground music, new music, music that not a lot of people has heard. Well, today's one of those days I get to debut a song by a band called Lindsay's Remorse, and it's got a good friend of mine. His name is Skip. The song's called Father Absentee. You can check him out right now on Facebook, facebook.com/Lindsay's Remorse. Again, here it is, Father's Absentee. You hear it first right here on Rod's Planet.
Scratching at his head as if it's possible to tear thoughts from the mind. Finding out the circle when he thought that he was walking a straight line. So as he back in this small room again, the pain stabs out with sharpened ends, as if the child were just kicked in the face. And now he's emptied out and hollowed, feels the system saturated with disgrace. For while he thought he'd never be another father absentee, with greater force he pushed away, he's lost the fight today. Packing up the clothes, can hear the whimpering, he knows the dad is out. Something good is dying, in 6 years we'll start to feel the void where shouts. Condemning everyone that's happy, thinking all the world's pretending and afraid. We'll ride that line too close and no one knows if he will ever walk out of his grave. For while he thought he'd never be another father absentee, greater force he pushed away, he's lost the fight today. Remember how he waited at the curb, hoping for a miracle while tiresome still lingered or revived. stick around, then what's the point of any other try? But while he thought he'd never pay another father absentee, with greater force he pushed away, he's lost the fight today.
Listening to Rod's Planet on KROD. Random thoughts from a random guy.
We're just not studs. We are the geeks who don't get the choice, babes, until we're making major cash in our mid to late 30s.
The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have done to you. I mean, and it's a pretty good rule. I kind of love to live my life that way. I mean, I treat others with respect, and I expect others to treat me with respect. So what's really wrong with that? Ignore the religious overtones if you want. Just put that aside. But just think about it for a second. What is wrong with expecting others to treat you with respect? And what's wrong with you treating others with respect? I realize that society has turned this country into a bunch of selfish, self-serving people who are looking for the bottom line and what's good for them and what can benefit them and how can it help them get ahead in their work or in their home life or whatever. But if you stop for a second and actually take a look at what this country's become, I mean, I weep. Okay, maybe not for real, but I really do. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. We have people who, bottom line, will not do anything unless it benefits their end result or their end lines. I mean, corporations are the biggest guilty parties of this where, you know, of course, the bottom line is profit. So if it doesn't make them money, if it doesn't make the CEO another $100,000 or $200,000 to take another vacation, which would make six for the year, then he's going to cut it or get rid of it or not do it. And that's sad because that's trickled down to the rest of the country where, you know, even something as simple as driving, you know, if it can save somebody another 15 seconds, they're going to cut you off and swerve in and out of traffic and put everybody else's lives at risk just so they can get to work 15 seconds sooner. And really, that's what it all boils down to. I mean, we have turned into a society of selfish people. Nobody looks out for anybody else anymore. Nobody has the best interest of the community at heart. Case in point, I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, even the communities that we live in, it starts in the communities that we live in. Nobody, and think about this for a second, and I want you to back up and answer this question. Do you know your neighbors? But more than that, have you interacted with your neighbors? I mean, seriously, it's do you know your neighbors? Yes. But have you interacted with your neighbors? That's the question. I mean, everybody knows who their neighbors are. I mean, you all peek out the window. Maybe you see them leaving for work. Maybe you see them coming home. Whatever. You all know who your neighbors are. And if you don't, then you're more of a hermit than I thought. But even still, if you know who your neighbors are, that's fine. That's a step. But have you interacted with your neighbors? Have you done something? Have you invited them over to your house for a barbecue? Have you, you know, stopped or watched a ball game with them? Whatever. Have you interacted with your neighbors? Now, I'll be the first to admit that I'm guilty of this because of the fact that I just moved into a new neighborhood and I have not yet taken the opportunity. I've met and talked to my neighbors, but I have not yet actually invited them over for a baseball game or a barbecue or anything of that nature. So, but that is something that I enjoy. I enjoy knowing the people around me because for one, it makes for a way easier living arrangement. I mean, how many times have you maybe gotten annoyed at your neighbor for playing loud music, or if you live in an apartment, for stomping over your head, or, you know, for keeping you up at night, whatever. I'm sure there's a ton of you out there who have had that problem before, but how many of you would maybe take a little bit of anger away, or maybe lose a little bit of it, if you actually knew that person, hung out with that person? You wouldn't quite get as mad. Maybe you'd be a little more forgiving of that person if you actually knew them, if you had a relationship with them, if you talked to them on a regular basis. You might be a little more forgiving, and that would lower your stress level, because everybody gets so stressed out, you know, living on top of each other. And, you know, maybe someone was playing beer pong in your front yard at 10 at night, and, you know, your kids are trying to sleep, you know. But if you know your neighbors, and if you talk to them on a regular basis, and you're not just one of those people that goes home, shuts the door, and blocks the rest of the world out, you might be able to go out and tell them, hey, man, you know, kids sleep at 10 o'clock. You know, it's cool if you play, but can you just maybe play in the backyard or something? Trying to let my kids sleep and you playing outside of their windows, keeping them up. You know, stuff like that. I mean, that's a reasonable request, especially at 10 o'clock at night. And that all stems from knowing your neighbors, getting a relationship with your neighbors. So, again, I mean, that's something I have to work on this time around, because I just moved into a new neighborhood. But the thought is there, and it carries out into so much more of your life. You're a much better person if you can approach somebody from a standpoint of respect. And then I use that word a lot, but that's just because a lot of people don't give respect anymore. The people that stand in the 15 items or less line with 30 items, and they don't apologize. You know, they look at you like you're the person that did wrong, because they're the ones standing in line, in the wrong line, mind you, with all these 30 items, and then they write a check. So it takes even longer when it's supposed to be an express lane. The same people that drive in the carpool lane with one person, and they're driving 10 miles below the speed limit. Those are the inconsiderate, self-serving people that are the reason this country, I think, has just gone to hell in a handbasket. It really sucks to know that there are people out there that are so selfish and so self-serving that they don't think past their own little bubble. And again, that can easily be fixed. It can be fixed because you just need to step out of your box and think about the fact that we live in a world with a lot of other people. And it's fine to look out for yourself, because really no one else is going to look out for you, but not to the point where you start to infringe on everybody else's right to look after themselves. And again, you know, all it takes is a couple of considerations, a smile every once in a while when you meet somebody, instead of trying to rush past them as quickly as possible and not make eye contact. Again, you don't know what that person is capable of doing. You don't know what that person, maybe that smile meant that they're going to go out now and cure cancer. I mean, that's an extreme, extreme example, but it's true. You never know what one little smile can do for a person's day. And if you're the person that can supply that boost of energy or boost of self-esteem or whatever it is, so much the better, because that makes you a better person in the long run. And who doesn't want to be a better person? I mean, I know people out there that are grumpy and that all they ever want to do is just, you know, walk through life grumbling and complaining. But what a miserable existence that is. Wouldn't it be better to walk around as a person who is an inspiration and people look at and say, you know what, that guy is a stand-up guy, I or gal, and I respect that person. And that just comes from the simplest word, respect. Just remember in situations what the right thing to do is. If you're in that 15 item, well, first of all, if you have 30 items in your cart, don't walk up to the 15 item or less line. Just don't. Just know that no matter what happens, you have other people behind you that maybe just have an apple that they want to buy, or a bottle of water or a bottle of soda, and that's all they want. And they have to wait for you to pay for all your 30 items, write a check for it, stand around while you get all your food bagged up. Again, that's just being very inconsiderate and very, very annoying. Those are the people that I just want to show the sign to and ask if they like to read, or if they even know how to read in the first place. Chances are they do, but at the same time, you gotta figure Well, they're probably not that bright if they're standing there anyways. And if that's you, and if I've offended you, well, maybe next time you'll think before you walk into that aisle. When you're driving, weaving in and out of traffic like a madman is not going to get you anywhere faster, especially if it's Bay Area traffic. We live out here. I live out in California, and Bay Area traffic is a nightmare. And it's worse because people decide that they want to dart in and out of lanes because they're looking for the fastest way to get 15 seconds, try to get to their place 15 seconds faster. And really, that's the problem with driving, especially in bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's bumper-to-bumper mainly because people decide they want to weave in and out of the lanes. If everybody went one pace and stayed at one pace, traffic would go a whole lot faster. I'm not saying it would go 70 miles an hour all the time, but at least you'd be going 40 instead of 15. If people just stayed in one lane the entire time and nobody tried to weave in and out of traffic, because 9 times out of 10, if you think about it, if you really stop and think about it, the only reason people are slowing down is because people are getting in front of them. So the only reason you have to hit the brakes is because somebody else cut out in front of you. Cut that out. You cut the fact that you have to constantly apply your brakes and are going 15 miles an hour. It's the little things. It is the little things. Letting somebody go in front of you if you have a bunch of items in a grocery store or a department store or whatever. Saying excuse me when you're getting up from your seat and you're in a row full of 19 people that you have to cross over, instead of just acting like they need to get out of your way. Helping somebody open a door. You know, those are the things that separate selfish people from the people that are actually going to make this world a better place. Now, I'm not saying that this is we are the world, but one person can make a little difference in their community. You know, if you're that person to get everyone together for a block party and say, you know what, I want to get to know everybody. I want everybody here to get along. Because again, in your community is where it starts. If you have respect for your neighbors, if you have respect for the people around you, then you are going to carry that same attitude out into the world. And, you know, then the rest of the people around you are going to feel the same way. And maybe they'll carry it out in the world and they'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. You get the point, right? I mean, seriously, respect is a huge issue. And it's something I think is extremely lacking in this country. It's ridiculous. It makes me want to just scream at the top of my lungs. Just tell people, if all you ever did was think about yourself, well, that's all they ever do is think about themselves. And look where we're at right now. But if they would have stopped 1 second and thought, you know what, especially big corporations, let's use them as an example again. If that person would have thought to themselves, you know what, I'm making X amount of money and that's sufficient enough for me to carry on a decent lifestyle, you know, and I don't have to cut this line worker just to save myself $50 worth of pay a day, which equates to maybe, what, I don't know, $10,000. But here the CEO is making $500,000, and he cut the line worker who needed that job to put his kid through college so he could actually try to make something of himself. But instead, now that line worker is unemployed. Now he's one of the millions of Americans that are unemployed, and now he's looking for a job. Now his kid can't go to school. Now his kid's probably going to end up being unemployed. So the domino effect, because that CEO or those shareholders wanted to make another 10 bucks in their check, it just makes me sad. It makes me literally physically sad to think that there are people out there that are worried that their Learjet isn't going to have gas enough for them to go to the Barbados one more time this year when they've already went 10 times. So again, all I'm saying is give peace a chance. No, I'm just kidding. All I'm saying is give respect a chance. Find out what it is in your community that you can help out. Find out even in your workplace where you can just find those little moments, because there's always little moments that come out that you can choose either to A, be selfish, or B, treat someone with respect and help them out. Identify those moments and choose the right path. And I'll give you a little hint. The right path is not the one that makes you seem like a selfish person. So next time you're standing in line at a grocery store and you notice that you have 25 items and you're in the 10 items or less lane, you might want to just take your card out and say, excuse me, I'm sorry, and then move over to the next lane no matter how many people are waiting for it. And do you CEOs out there, next time you think about cutting a job, think about the impact that it has on the rest of everybody else. So you can't go, you know, drive your limousine for another 16 minutes just because some guy got his job cut. Just something to keep in mind. And I'm telling you right now, if we all love one another, as really hippie as that sounds, it really will make this country a much better place and a much easier place to live. So give it a chance. Think about it.
Attention! Private, why is your room such a mess? What is all this stuff? A bag of chips? I didn't know they served this kind in the chow hall. What is this DVD? This wasn't in the PX when I was there last. Pudding packs? Toothpaste? Where'd you get all this stuff?
From Packed with Pride, Sergeant.
What with what?
Packed with Pride is a group back home that ships packages full of fun stuff we need and want. Everything from snacks to games, even DVDs. You never know what you're going to get, but every time it reminds me of home.
Wow, that sounds like a great idea. Can other troops get this stuff too?
Of course they can, Sergeant.
Can I?
All you have to do is go to www.packedwithpride.com and click Add a Soldier. Then fill out all the information and you're done. All branches of services are welcome, so even our Air Force, Navy, and Marine friends can take part.
I think I just might do that, Private. I'll tell the rest of the company to sign up also. Thanks, Private.
No problem, Sergeant.
Carry on, Private. And Private?
Yes, Sergeant?
Clean up this mess!
For more information, whether you're a deployed soldier or a family member back home wanting to help out, visit PactWithPride.com. Packed with Pride. Each box is packed with the pride of a soldier's mom.
Hey, did you hear the story about the Jew, the Catholic priest, and... Well, wait a minute. That's a different story. Hi, this is Dave Rabbit from Guerrilla Radio, and you're listening to Rod's Planet.
So like I talked about earlier, the best way to fix this country is start by being a good neighbor, right? Because that's all you can be in this world, is at least somebody of substance and somebody who the person that lives next to you can say, you know what, that guy is awesome, those people are amazing, and it's a great opportunity living next to them because they are great, great people, right? Well, I found a website and a blog, which is actually, it's a tongue-in-cheek look at sort of what it takes to be a good neighbor, but a lot of these are very much true, and I'll put the link in the show notes. It is a Hub Pages page, sadesbreath.hubpages.com. But again, this little tongue-in-cheek top 10 list is pretty much narrows it down and hits the nail right on the head. So I'm just going to read them off. I'll give you my take on each one of them, but I do encourage you to go read the entire list and the entire blog post. It's actually quite a good blog post, and it made me laugh quite a bit. But the top 10 reasons that this person here gives on how to be a good neighbor starts with number one, mow your freaking lawn. Boy, I tell you, if I had a nickel for every lawn that I saw that was just brown and nasty and disgusting, boy, I'd be a rich man. And it's true. I mean, the first impression of you and your house is when people walk up and see that lawn. Now, if your lawn looks like a jungle and it looks like a barren wasteland, you know, whatever. If it just looks unkempt and untidy, that is going to send shockwaves through that person and think that you don't take pride in yourself or where you live or how you live. So again, that's clutch. I mean, if you want to be a good neighbor, then present yourself as somebody who takes pride in the neighborhood by mowing your doggone lawn. Number two, for the love of God, shut the doggone dog up. There it is. I mean, for those of you who own dogs and, you know, are responsible dog owners, then my hat is off to you. But for the most part, people just don't care. They seem to not care that their dog barks at 3, 4, 5, 2 in the morning and just yaps all night long. And it's more annoying than anything when it's a hot day. You don't want to run your air conditioner at night because electricity charges are through the roof, and all you want to do is leave your windows open, and all of a sudden Fido is keeping you up at 2 in the morning barking at whatever, probably even his own tail at that point, just barking for the sake of barking. You know, at least take your dog in, or don't own a dog, plain and simple. But whatever, I mean, that's probably not going to happen. You know, it's your right to own a dog, that's fine, but if you can't look after him, and if your dog's going to be a menace to the neighborhood, by barking all night long, chances are you probably shouldn't have it. Number three, and this is a problem that I cannot stand, all right? Park in front of your own house. Now, again, like the writer of this blog, if you read it, you know, I understand that streets are public and that, you know, parking wherever you can on the street is fine. And, you know, I do also understand when you have company over and people are parking in front of your house to, you know, to have a party or whatever. But again, if it's just people coming over or the same person, I had this problem probably the last place that I lived. The people that lived next door continually parked with nobody else on the street, nobody in front of their house, nobody in front of anybody else's house. They parked right in front of our house where I would park every day. Well, when I could, they weren't in the lot. But I don't understand, if there's nobody else in front of your house, why on God's green earth would you decide to park in front of my house? It just does not make any sense. I just don't understand. Because now what that makes me do is I have to walk, you know, sometimes if it was the only spot left, I have to walk a good, I don't know, block or two. And yeah, okay, walking's good for, you know, for you, and it's good exercise, and I probably shouldn't complain. But come on, if I'm unloading groceries or if I have something big that I'm taking out of my car and I have no place to park because you're parked in front of my house, ridiculous. I can't stand it. And again, you know, that's just like me standing in front of your front lawn, right in front of your door. It just doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't like it. Number four on the list, invite me to your party, or at least give fair warning first. And this goes back to what I was talking about earlier about, you know, inviting your neighbors over to the parties that you throw, making sure that they know that you're not doing this just to make them mad or, you know, being loud without considering their feelings. And, you know, again, even if you just give your neighbors a heads up, I was approached a couple months ago by one of our neighbors, and he's like, "Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know we're going to be throwing this party across the street." He's like, I'm trying not to let it get too loud, but if it does get too loud, you know, just, you know, it won't last long. We'll be over soon. So I actually respected that guy a whole lot more because he actually gave up to us and gave us warning that he was going to throw a party. You know, so I was a little more forgiving of the fact that at 11 o'clock at night, it was still a little bit loud. And again, he did that to all the neighbors. He made sure that he let all the neighbors know that he was throwing a party. And again, when somebody admits or comes up to me and just gives me fair warning, you don't have to. But again, being a good neighbor, being somebody who, you know, respects other people's privacy and space, that is the right thing to do. So I was glad that he did it. And it just doesn't take much more than a knock on the door and say, "Hey," and this, you know, again, if you know your neighbors, you're not afraid to go knock on their door and tell them, "Hey man, got a birthday party for the kid. Bunch of my family's coming over. You know, you want to come over, you can. If not, I'm just going to let you know that it's going to be going on probably kind of late. So be prepared for that. We'll try not to get out of hand, but, you know, good times being what they are, it might happen." And that's all it takes. How long ago is it? 10 seconds, 15 seconds worth of warning saves you probably 20 years worth of bad neighbor relationships if you just take that time. Number five, deal drugs somewhere else. Now, just like the blog post writer, I have not had that problem, but I can only assume that if you want to deal drugs, please don't do it in my front lawn. Please don't do it around my house. I'm okay. But drugs carry some pretty heavy consequences, and I, for one, do not want my kids to have to be wrapped up in those. Coming in at number six is turn your music down. Oh, God, one of my biggest pet peeves. You know, it's not that I don't like loud music. I do. I'm a huge fan of loud music. My loud music, when I'm not disturbing anybody else. But I cannot stand to hear your bass thumping through my wall, especially if we share a wall. Like in an apartment or in a duplex or something of that nature, if we share a wall and all I hear is this loud pounding every, you know, yeah, it's just not fun. That there's just no good that comes out of that for anybody. And, you know, that kind of music is great. Again, I love listening to loud music, but doggone it, if sometimes I just don't get annoyed at my own, like if I have it turned up too loud, I just think to myself, wow, this is way too loud for me even. So it's got to be loud for the people next door. So again, and especially if you're playing it in the backyard even, that's even worse, where the whole neighborhood can hear you. And all they're doing is listening to your music, and you can't drown it out no matter how loud you turn up your TV, just like this blog poster said, no matter how loud you turn up your TV or what else you got going on, if you can't drown it out, all you're hearing is the other person's music, and that is annoying. So turn down your music. And number seven, turn up your music. Well, turn your music up. And of course, this is when we're talking about when you are doing things, and now the blog post person is talking about romantical things that some people tend to get a little loud at. But I even mean like yelling and fighting and screaming. If you're going to be in a shouting match with somebody that's in the next room, or, you know, just be considerate enough to maybe turn a little music up to where I don't have to hear your throes of passion or your screams of fury. You know, sometimes walls are paper thin. And you don't need to hear some of the stuff that you hear, especially if, you know, it's stuff that I'm going to have to turn you in over. I don't want to have that moral dilemma. So turn your music up. Number eight, take your garbage out. And really, again, that's just common sense, common knowledge, and basically just all around good practice. Take your garbage out and do it on time. Don't do the thing where the garbage comes on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, you put all of your rotting meat out and you leave it sit there for an entire week until they come again on Tuesday. Try to plan the throwing out of your garbage to where when it gets picked up, because nobody wants to smell rotting meat for an entire week because you were too lazy to go in your fridge, clean everything out, and put it out there on Monday night. So they picked it up on Tuesday so that on Wednesday, we didn't smell slaughterhouse. You know, that's just common knowledge. Number nine, something that I agree with as well. Slow down, you drive too fast. And this is something where I live where there's a nice alleyway. And, you know, I always tell my daughter, do not go into the alleyway until I am with you, because people love to treat that alleyway like their own personal drag strip. And they just fly down that alleyway thinking, I don't know what they're thinking. But it's just, it's irritating. You know, nobody knows who's coming up that alleyway, what's going to be in there. Is a trash can going to be out there, or is another car going to be out there? But yet people still decide they want to go Indy 500 through it and just blow right through it. Now, you know, my daughter accidentally runs out there one day, heaven forbid. I want people to be considerate enough to be driving the 2 miles an hour, because it's not like it's a long stretch, folks. It's only a stretch long enough for about five or seven houses to be stretched out on. So it's not like you're going to get anywhere as any faster. So just slow down a little bit and be considerate of the people that are around you. And last but not least, for this neighbor and for some neighbors that I know, fix the fence. And that, you know, if you have a shared fence with somebody, you know, things happen to it. And not just from what this blog poster said, that it blows down, pick it back up again. But if you've got a mangled fence that's nasty, that's full of holes, that's disgusting, you know, help the person fix it. I think you're legally obligated to help fix the fence if you share one. So go in on it, halves or whatever. But, you know, if it's falling apart, don't leave it like that. That's ridiculous. So anyways, check out the whole blog post. It's hilarious. We'll put the links in the, I'll put the links in the show notes. And, you know, you can have a good laugh. I hit the main points, but the blog writer's got a lot of good insight to it as well. So there it is, 10 ways to be a good neighbor. And take heed and be a good neighbor, because really, State Farm can't be the only ones to do it, right? We got to step up our game sometime or another.
Rod's Planet. Random thoughts from a random guy. Go to voterod.podomatic.com. RJ Productions.
I want to thank you for listening to this episode of Rod's Planet. Again, hopefully we gave you a few tips here to help you, I don't know, navigate life a little more peacefully and quite possibly make the world a better place one person at a time. Again, thank you all for listening. I'm Rod, and thanks for spending time on my planet. So until next time, the cosmos is huge, we are all small, but on Rod's Planet, everybody's important. Good night.
I never liked you. Get lost.
That guy was an annoying, greasy-headed loser.
Get off my ship.
Goodbye.
here at Rod's Planet thank you for your visit. Please come back again next time for another thrilling episode.